Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Chris. It is October 14th, Sunday.
3 p.m.
3 p.m. on the dot. Good for us.
We just came back from lunch with my parents.
Yeah, it was super great. Where did we go? Din? In Bel Air.
Yep.
Like, very well into Bel Air. And,
really
yeah,
good.
It was
good
great.
To catch up with them.
We also just went to an open house in
East
Downtown.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. We were driving back from lunch and we saw some signs, and recently within the past couple of weeks, I've just been like searching for houses online, just getting an idea of how much they even cost to buy a house in the inner loop of Houston. And so we went and looked at this 4-story house, which is like $500,000 and we'll never be able to afford. But the like realtor running the event was super friendly, gave us a ton of guidance on like how you even go about getting a house started.
Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was interesting.
It was.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Because we've gone to open house before previously, but it's very much like we walk in and these people are like, "Oh, you're obviously way too young to afford this house. Like, we're not even gonna waste our time talking to you." So, that was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
How
has your life been, Chris?
It's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
so. So we've definitely been delaying the podcast, like, past the date that we set up to do it every week. So I feel like we almost have, like, 2 weeks to recap.
Maybe we shouldn't.
I don't think Mondays are working for us.
Yeah, but is even weekly doing it?
I think
Because it's hard.
We have done it weekly, except for 1 week. We've skipped 1 week so far.
But even then, I think that's a lot.
Yeah.
Not really for our lives. I think we could fit it in, but just like talking wise, maybe we should.
Chris doesn't want to talk to me for an hour a week.
Yeah.
No, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It is a lot. Like, because it really isn't just sitting down for 30 minutes to an hour and talking. It's sitting down for an hour to 30 minutes talking and then taking another like 2 to 3 hours to edit and post.
But I mean,
which
like,
is why last week's is.
Topics wise, though.
We're just going to run out of things to talk about.
Do we run
about.
Dry? Yeah.
I'm sure at some point. But I was actually thinking about that today because I feel like we've been having, with this episode this week, I think every time we've talked about it, we've just been like, wait, what are we talking about again?
Yeah.
What are we going to focus on? That? Really? No, let's do this instead. So I've definitely been thinking that myself of like...
Doing it. Wait, what?
That we may run dry
topic-wise
or even just general... interest wise.
Yeah.
But I think what will happen and I look forward to is like we're gonna have some points in time where there's just a lot going on in our actual life that I think we'll have quite a bit to talk about. So yeah. I mean it is for us, so like if we wanted to just talk gibberish we could.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you asked about my week.
Yep.
or I guess our weeks. It's been busy again. It was another work heavy week for both of us.
Yeah.
Did we do that much outside of?
I think so.
What did we
do? So it was October 9th. Well, I did a lot this week. I feel we went to Katrina's improv show. That was great.
You've been hanging
out with friends quite a bit, especially this weekend. We've been hanging out too. We did Caldwell.
Last weekend. No, that was 2 weekends ago. Yep. Right?
What did we do last weekend?
Nothing.
Just nothing.
For real, though. We didn't do anything.
I know, but what was it?
I can't remember.
I was in spring.
Yeah. That's when we went to Highland Village.
Yeah. We did shopping. Well, I had a pretty eventful week.
Okay, tell me about it.
So October 9th was the voter registration deadline in Texas for midterm elections. So Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, I like registered some folks at work and got
Did
to go.
A lot of people.
Registered? No, like 7 total,
okay.
Including us. So besides us, 5 people
okay.
registered. But that was cool because I was just like going downtown in the morning and dropping things off at the tax office and that always feels like quite an event. Like, wow, my civic duty is happening right now.
Yeah.
This is great. Work has just been so crazy busy because I'm training two people, almost like two and a half essentially. And I just have officially gotten a new promotion to director of sales and account management from MacroFed Inc. And my title is getting announced tomorrow. I'm going to be in the leadership meeting tomorrow in the morning. And that's been really exciting. My CEO is really excited about it. My new employee, Corey, who's really like a coworker and really awesome, is excited about it too. And I think this quarter is going to look really good for us. So work has been really busy, but it hasn't felt stressful yet.
Are you enjoying it? Excited for it?
I feel like I'm thriving a little bit off of it. Like, I have these days now at work where if this would have been me 3 months ago going into a day, I would have been like borderline melting down walking into work. Whereas today I'm just kicking things in the ass and
that's awesome.
Really doing a good job, I feel. And the biggest switch has just been like my perception of work has now changed because of the new support that I'm getting, which is great. Yeah.
That is really great.
Yeah.
Congrats.
I've been really excited to talk about that. And outside of that, though, I feel like we've just been hanging out at home a lot this week, seeing some friends, and just taking it easy, which has been great. I've honestly, because work has gotten so busy, I've very comfortably put off some other personal stuff aside, you know, like writing and stuff like that. And I'm not feeling bad about it because I'm just working my ass off in other ways.
You'll get to the other stuff too.
Exactly.
It'll be there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Thanks. Thanks.
Okay. Well, let's just jump into the topic.
Okay.
With all of this stuff happening and we have a lot of stuff that's happening pretty consistently, but something that we try to focus on is our mental health. In one way or another, we try to encourage each other to think about how we feel and stuff. And, like, we ask constantly ask each other about how we're doing and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so we wanted
from a mental perspective.
Yeah. Making sure that, you know, we're doing what we want and we're happy and that kind of thing. And that's really important to us. So that's what we want to talk about today. So I want to start off with asking you, what has mental health, like what is the presence of mental health and keeping mindful of your mental stability and that kind of thing? Like, where has that been throughout different parts of your life? And I guess how important is it now? That's a pretty big question.
Yeah. Let me segment that question up, which I'm not sure if I understood the first part totally right, but are you essentially asking, like, what is mental health to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think you actually just use this word, mindfulness. I think that's a lot of what mental health is to me. And mental health, it should be a priority for everyone, I feel. Even folks who are just, like, happy, go-get-em guys every single day, it's important to focus on mental health and what is driving that optimism. And I think it requires being mindful of your emotional status and your thought processes and taking care of yourself when you realize those aren't where they in the state that you want them to be. And so mental health for me today is a lot about self-care, reflection, and I think overall communication about it. The second part of your question was how has mental health looked throughout my life?
Yeah.
So I'm very fortunate to say that I have not dealt with any severe mental health issues. And when I say severe, I mean, you know, like a clinical diagnosis of anything. But I have experienced mental health hurdles for sure, especially in terms of stress. Mental health issues with stress to a point that they result in physical impacts. You know, panic attacks, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, depression.
You say you haven't had a lot of severe experiences, but that sounds pretty severe.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you want to talk about your hospitalization?
Yeah. So last year, 2017, it was 2017, May of 2017.
Yeah, last summer, yeah.
Last summer, I was very stressed out with my life in general. I was having like a quarter life crisis, I'd say. And I was hospitalized for 4 days due to a stress-related issue. We don't really know. I don't know how to even start explaining this. I was out to lunch with Chris and all of a sudden got tunnel vision, got very confused, just started having these very strange symptoms. We ended up calling a medical hotline asking if I needed to go to the hospital, if it was stroke-related symptoms, and they advised us to go. So we went, and I checked in there all weekend, got a bunch of tests done, not in the appropriate time frame, that didn't really result in much closure. But the one thing we did know is that whatever the event was, it was likely a very stress-related event.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the most severe my interaction with stress has mm-hmm. ever gotten. But even prior to that, I've dealt with pretty strange medical diagnosis on almost a yearly basis that were related to stress. I had internal hemorrhoids that were stress related, and my GERD was like being influenced by my stress worse. And then just like a series of panic attacks that started in early college. And, you know, I still have moments where those kind of seep back up, but I've learned to address that throughout the past couple of years.
Whenever you feel that kind of stress, does it just come to a point, or is it like a gradual uneasiness, stressfulness that is pretty constant that peaks at one point? Do you know what I mean?
Like, do I just always feel stressed?
Yeah, I guess so. Then some kind of incident happens.
No, I don't always feel stressed.
That's not what I meant. Like, prior to you having a panic attack or like something boiling over, is it you're getting like you're feeling stressed before that point, or you suddenly realize?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Like a just random panic attack.
Yeah.
Got it. It's definitely not something from my perspective and experiences. It's never something that just is out of the blue. They can happen very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Are you conscious about it beforehand, before something happens, I guess?
So I'm going to start back a little bit.
Okay.
So I haven't had a panic attack, because there's anxiety attacks and panic attacks, and I don't think I've had a panic attack in probably a couple years. I've had anxiety attacks pretty recently, within the last like 8 months maybe. Mm-hmm. But with a panic attack, it's very much a sensation of I'm dying right now and my life is over and this is what's happening. And I haven't had that since college, probably. But when it was happening, I was really stressed, was really depressed. And in the exact moment that I remember my last panic attack, I was in bed and I was not sitting in bed saying, oh, I'm about to have a panic attack. Mm-hmm. Like it actually wasn't something I realized I actually had an attack until days later.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How did you find out?
Talking to others. And relaying that I just like had this meltdown, and I have some friends who, you know, they've dealt with like mental health stuff their whole life, able to give me feedback and say, kind of sounds like that's what happened.
I see.
And then talking to my doctor about it later.
Okay.
Yeah. Just my primary care doctor. Yeah. And anxiety attacks I've had more recently, and those are directly related to very high level stress situations, primarily work and primarily work now. And then at a point in time, it was also family stuff too.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. What has mental health been for you? What is it for you today, and what has it been for you throughout your life?
I think throughout my life, just through middle school, high school, college, it wasn't anything that I ever thought. I wasn't ever super present to it, other than emotionally, I was either sad or happy or something. But I never looked further inward, I guess. And it was just the overlaying feeling of, you know, I'm pretty happy right now with how
mm-hmm.
things are going, or I'm pretty sad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And those were always externally related, or it was external things that were causing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, in college, I felt like at one point maybe I was depressed because of some medication I was taking that messed with my hormones. Plus, I hated my major.
Accutane?
Yep. Yeah. Hated my major. Didn't like the classes I was taking. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah.
So that was like a, what the hell am I doing? And what am I, where am I going to go? That was, yeah.
And you said that you were feeling depressed during that point in time. What was it that was going on for you that made you think, like, wow, I might be depressed?
It was those things, like,
in general, just, like, the feeling you carried around with you all day?
Yeah, like a cloud.
Did you ever have an exact moment where you were kind of hit in the face with how unhappy you were?
No, it wasn't really like that. It wasn't, it was just over a period of time.
Mm.
And a lot of different factors playing into it that led me to have, I guess, like, it was just like, I don't know, like sunglasses that blurred my vision, basically, or
mm-hmm.
something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how were you feeling? Were you feeling just sad or hopeless? Worried?
It wasn't like... If I thought about it and I focused my thoughts onto it, then I would feel sad and kind of not directional. I wasn't going in a certain direction and I wasn't sure where my life was headed.
Yeah.
And, So
did it ever get, so is that point in time the worst it's been? You feel,
I
is
think
it,
so.
Is that, has that been like the worst state of your mental health?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you ever experienced any type of anxiety attack, panic attack, suicidal
I'm not
thoughts?
Sure. Not seriously suicidal, but just the thought of, you know, what if I just ended it at one point and it, like, how much would that actually matter or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, how much does my life actually matter? But never to the point where I like planned anything out or anything like that. I think everybody kind of thinks that at one point in their life, and
yeah.
doesn't really mean that they're suicidal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in moments like that, it's less of I'm having a suicidal thought. I'm more of like, I'm just having a ton of self doubt about
my
life.
Something
you know?
Like that. Yeah. What else did you ask?
I asked if you'd ever dealt with panic attacks
or
anxiety.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think so. It's hard for me to identify that. I guess there's points where if my thoughts go down a rabbit hole, it might lead me to kind of break down a little
mm-hmm.
bit. And
what's an example of a rabbit hole?
Just like right now, I could maybe, I don't know, like it's pretty, I feel like I'm in pretty good control of it. But if I were to think about where my professional life was going and what I actually wanted to do with my life, what actually fulfills me and whether or not if I could ever get to that or even identify it. Like if I kept thinking about it and asking myself questions, I think I could make myself like feel lesser, I guess, or something like that.
If you kept thinking about
like just asking myself, like, what do I really want to do? Am I ever going to get there? If I get there, am I going to actually feel fulfilled? Am I going to feel happy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're saying
those kind of questions.
That's an example of a rabbit hole that you could go down.
Yeah. But,
questioning yourself.
Yeah. But I don't know if I like that could happen.
Why?
Cause I think I catch myself. Or I rationalize too hard for me to ever go to that deep.
Hmm.
Yeah, to worry about it too much, you know.
So you start to have a thought like that, and you can just kind of chime in to yourself and say,
"Not really. It's not that conscious.
Well, no, yeah.
But it's just like, you know what? Like, I don't know exactly what will make me happy in the end, but I can only do so much now to like improve myself, and maybe one day." I figure that out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's out of my control right now. But I can do certain things to like make myself better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you experience, cause just for me, something that affects my mental health the most is my stress.
Yeah.
I don't know if that is something that affects my mental health or if it's a result of my mental health.
Yeah.
But either way, like, those two intermingle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any experiences like that? Like, is stress something that's present for you?
Yeah,
or anxiety?
It is.
Because I feel like that's a big reason why a lot of folks our age bring up mental health is because we're all dealing with this amount of stress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's very common between
yeah.
folks we know.
Hmm. Yes, I definitely get stressed. I don't know.
But never to an anxiety type of level.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say because I get stressed and then I think my way with dealing with it is thinking about the worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that happens, like that's not that bad. I think. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's just like, I don't know. Like at work, there's a lot of instances where it's going to be a stressful situation.
Yeah.
But I think I've dealt with enough so that I know you kind of just have to go through it. You kind of just have to do it. And then like whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's great.
I guess. I don't know.
What are things in your life that you feel impact your mental well-being?
Paying close attention to world politics.
Ah.
Yeah. If I read too much news, that could depress me.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any recent examples?
Yeah, plenty. Yeah.
The whole past two
years. Yeah, so there's like a balance that like I feel like I need to be informed, but if I'm too deep into it, then I feel like I can't do much about it,
mm-hmm.
and some things are hopeless,
mm.
and that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And then getting too in the weeds of trying to figure out my life,
mm-hmm.
where maybe I can't really do that yet, or it's a little bit out of my control. That's something that can make me stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Let's see. Yeah, what are the present things that like make you have to feel like you need to like refocus back on your mental health? I know like job obviously is like a big thing.
Work's a big thing. Definitely. I would say work most often gets me present to a lack of self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know if it is at a point that I'm about to cry at my desk, it's honestly not happening because of the work I'm actively doing. It's happening because I've been neglecting
mm-hmm.
taking care of my mental well-being and haven't been doing the things for myself that I need to feel stable and powerful. Something else that can get me present to that, which I don't know how to explain, is if I do think I'm more of an extroverted person, and if I go a long period of time without expressing that side of things for me with people who I really care about, that can also trigger like anxiety or a meltdown.
Wait, what do you mean by that? Like talking with other people, just
like
interactions with
not just pure basic interactions, like genuine deep interactions.
Oh, I see.
You know, like I live with you,
yep,
and that's great. But if I only had like these types of conversations with just you for a period of a couple weeks, I think I would start to see some results of that and
negative.
Feeling like negative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like friends are a big thing to me. My family's a big thing to me. And if I was isolating myself, or if I got to a point where I felt like I was distancing or isolating myself, like that would get me pretty present too.
Okay.
Also like things like news, and I think social media definitely have an impact, but it's minor.
What is, would you consider your, interacting with other people and having like deeper conversations, like with your family and friends, that's like a form of self-care for you in a
Absolutely.
Way. Yeah. What are other like ways that, like, you
self-care? I like self-care
yeah.
my mental health.
Yeah.
Writing in general is huge. Especially if I, because from my perspective, mental health and trying to evaluate, one, what even is going wrong, and then two, how you should address what is happening with your mental health is like the most difficult part about it.
Yep.
Is like you can have a week where you are just not feeling up to par and you're sad and you can't even put your finger why.
Yeah.
And writing is a big resource for me to try to get to the bottom of things. If I just put my best effort into just free writing about what's going on in my life, I typically am able to find out what's bothering
me.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's good. It's not a fail-safe. And it definitely, that'll help me answer issue number one of what is even bothering me, but is not always presenting a solution to what the item is.
Yeah.
I typically think that the solution for fixing those things always comes circles back around to getting in communication with, I don't know, whether it be myself or other people who are involved in what the issue is for me.
Yeah.
And can we repeat your question?
It's just like, what are your forms of self-care? Like, what does that look like?
Writing. I mean, I have other, there's like physical forms of self-care that are good for my body. Something I have tried to be more conscious of doing just within the past couple of weeks that I'm not great at is just giving my mind a break. Is just like, we went to Caldwell a couple weekends ago and I didn't bring something to occupy myself the whole time. I had so many moments throughout that weekend where I just didn't utilize a ton of brain power, which I think I need more than I like to admit, especially because my brain is going 100% of the time.
Yep.
So I'm trying, I think that is something that will help me over time, is if I actually give my mental state a period of relaxation.
Yeah.
So I don't do that in terms of meditating, which I probably should, but I'm trying to start with exercise and see where that gets me.
Nice.
What about you?
I think.
Do you think you actively practice mental health self-care? I feel that I actively have to practice it to be sane.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that?
I think I do things that help my mental state. I do them without the purpose of self-care.
Like your intent is not.
Yeah, I just want to hang out with people and like that helps. Just like seeing my friends and stuff. Making sure that I try to communicate with you as well as I can how I'm feeling. Because that helps me identify for myself where I'm at. Working out is a big one. Eating well, I think too. If I'm like eating poorly for a week straight or something, I'll kind of just feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
focusing on like my personal hobbies,
mm-hmm.
and where I'm trying to get to, like,
yeah.
job-wise and that kind of thing. If I'm, like, making efforts into those things, I know that I think I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. Mm. And, like, being able to focus on our relationship, too.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You said that you had dealt with a depressive state before in your life, but you don't deal with stress or anxiety actively on a daily basis. And I, you know, the entire time I've known you, depression is not something I've seen you forcibly work with or something. It's not active in
yeah.
your life. But it was at one point. What do you think, what happened for you that helped you get over that? Or get through it?
I don't know. It's just like, I don't...
Take all the time you need to think
about it. I think I'm doing well now. And I wasn't at one point, but
so
it's just like, I don't think that I'm like out of the clear ever or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like, well, that answer of I'm doing well now and I wasn't then sounds like external forces were.
Yeah.
Really
I think it was just time. I think it was just time. Yeah, I don't know. Like, there were just a lot of things that I could take control of in my life in terms of lifestyle and stuff. But there were other things that I kind of felt like I think I just had to go through to get into a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, studying computer science in college, like, I hated it. I actually really disliked it. But you know, there's assignments, there's tests. If I drop out, I'm wasting that amount of time. If I change my major, I'm gonna have to like start over. But if I could just get through it, then I'm gonna be okay and like get a job and stuff. But like for the meantime, this is gonna suck.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm gonna have to kind of bear it. At least that's how I felt. Maybe there were other options or something, but I kind of felt a little trapped, but I also knew that I kind of just had to get through it.
Hmm. Why were you feeling trapped?
Yeah, because, I mean, there weren't a lot of options. Like, I'm in, like, my second or third year of computer science.
Yeah.
I'm realizing that I don't like it.
And you're closer to being done than you are
yeah.
starting over.
Yeah, and, like, I can't waste my parents' money. They're paying for me to go through college and stuff.
Mm.
So yeah, I just felt like I had to do it. And yeah,
mm.
time is a huge thing
yeah.
for a lot of those things, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a way of thinking you had about that point in your life that you had to change? Or was it really just over time, like you had to have the milestone of like, this is going to be over by this date and that's when I'm going to feel better.
I think it was
more
like
that.
Yeah.
Well,
can you relate to that at all?
A little bit, not in a sense with my, I've gone through several periods
mm-hmm.
of pretty deep sadness.
And what was your progression through it? Like,
it was a lot of like, they were all so uniquely different.
Mm-hmm.
And, some of them happened similarly where it was like a milestone that it was going to be over and things would get better.
Mm-hmm.
For example, doing long distance was something like that.
Yeah.
I was pretty fucking sad about that most of the time. But actual deep rooted, like hate myself, hate my life, don't want to be here. So depressed.
Yep.
Situations. It took a lot of personal effort to get through those and a lot of forcing myself to do things I didn't want to do at the time and really focusing on changing my way of thinking in those situations and knowing that if I didn't, it was like actually a matter of my life on the line.
Mm.
And finding the emotional resources you could find to get through them, knowing when to seek help, pretty much.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say that's most often.
I see.
How it is.
What is there anything that scares you about, like, I don't know, this side of things? Like, I don't know, like, looking forward and, like, just thinking about how you've dealt with it and, like, how it's come up in your life before, like, how do you feel about, like, as an individual, like, the things that you might have to go through, and then, like, I don't know, like, as a couple, too?
Well,
like, what are
okay, I'm going to try to repeat your question back.
That's it. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you asking me, are there potential aspects of future mental health states that worry me or I may be scared of?
Yes. As in, like, if another obstacle comes up, where, like, something happens where you have to deal with something big, and it's affecting your mental state, like, how prepared do you feel based on, like, your past experiences and that,
you know,
kind of
okay,
thing,
okay,
you know?
Cool. That makes sense. That makes sense. So when I think about that, like, you know, work is where most of my stress comes from. So I think of, like, what's the worst thing that could happen at work? And I feel, yes, I could totally conquer that. Per these old, like, hard times I've had to go through, I know what to do to get myself moving forward and get that empowerment back in the situation. But then there's completely other separate situations that are tied with the very personal aspects of my life that I would have no idea how to deal with. Mm-hmm. Like, if you left, I would just, like, I wouldn't even know how to function.
Mm.
So, like, kind of a war sphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, do you remember when we first started dating? And it was, like, we almost had this weird concern for the first couple months of, like, this is so good. Like, what if you died?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know how to pick back up from that. That'd be really sad.
It would be.
Yeah, it would. And, you know, that I don't think in a situation like that, like, I could look back on previous hard times and find strength.
Yeah. I don't know, with something like that, it's scary to say, but I don't think you can ever, like, fully recover from it. You just kind of move on, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, death is not something I've, like, dealt with at all in my life yet.
Yeah.
I've never lost somebody supremely close to me. And so if I did have to go through that with somebody who was close, especially someone like you or a parent, I think that would be the lowest point for my mental health in my life, and I'd probably just cave.
Yeah.
I don't think I could function. No. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't even know how to start to address it.
Yeah.
And so that is an area, I guess, of concern.
Mm-hmm.
Or then just other things happening where your mental health degrades with outside of your control.
Yeah.
Like, if I was pregnant and dealt with some really serious postpartum, like, there's, like, sometimes that can be so extreme that people don't want to touch their babies. And that's scary to think about, that you can have no control over that. Or getting dementia as an old person and forgetting people, forgetting things about yourself.
Yeah.
That's a big reason why, like, I hoard all the memorabilia that I do, is because if something like that ever were to happen, I have these permanent, like, pieces of paper I've wrote on that have your name on it. And, you know, kind of a way to tell myself in the future, if anything were to happen to my state of mind, that, like, this is really who you are, even if you don't remember it. Sorry.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. Do you have things like that you worry about?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. Yeah, I do. But it's always so far out of my present thoughts.
Yeah, really?
I think so.
I worry about that stuff a lot.
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, that's a big reason why whenever we do have an issue pop up in between us, why we end up getting into hours worth of discussion about it is because I have this underlying concern that if you were to leave, like, if we were to have this issue pop up that we didn't manage well and we didn't address and it resulted in you not wanting to be in this relationship and leaving, I just know that I would collapse and my mental health would tank. And that's a big reason why anytime something comes up, I try to get in communication with you about it immediately. Yeah.
That's interesting to me to hear you say that, like, you know that you would collapse. You know you would.
Yeah.
You're, like, confident that you would.
Yeah. It would be like losing a part of who I feel I am today.
Yeah.
Like, when I think about my future now, it's never just this thought of me. And so, you know, I'd be ripping that away.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but I do understand what you're saying.
I think you're explaining it well.
Not that I would, like, never be able to pick myself back up.
Mm-hmm.
But it would likely, it would be pretty detrimental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Because I would, like, no matter what the reason is, like, what was the last time you went through a breakup? Like, college?
Yeah.
Freshman year?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
just answered the question.
Like, it, yeah. Because you can't help but rack your brain of, like, what, why wasn't I good enough?
Yeah.
So, and I think that self-esteem is something that has a lot to do with mental health. Like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at your really hard point in time, a lot of that came from a level of self-doubt.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's kind of what the root of a lot of it is when you're talking about, you know, things that aren't clinical. But.
Yeah. How do you, I want to talk more in terms about mental health in terms of us as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
As a couple, we both go through different waves of good times and bad times together and individually. How do you think we've been doing with each other when one person isn't doing so well, the other one's doing great, or, like, if we're both going not through the best times, and, you know, like, if we're, how are we navigating those waves?
Yeah.
You know?
So I can only answer that from the perspective of how you are when I go through those waves.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty remarkable in my opinion. Like, I wasn't going through an awesome time earlier this year in 2018, like January through March. I was really not stoked about work and I felt like I was coming home exhausted, sad, and just angry every day. And you never dismissed me. You never said, oh, well, that sucks. It's not my problem. And you were always there for me as a partner, to listen, to talk about completely other subjects on days when I wanted to be the one who came home and cooked dinner because you knew I was going to be home a little bit later. And I think it was because of the way that you handled me during that low had a lot to do with the pace of getting out of the low. Because I have friends who, like, they've been depressed around their partner before, and the partner is just so burdened by it, and it's so apparent in their interactions. And what it does is it just sinks my friend into that depressive state even further,
mm-hmm.
while significantly damaging the relationship.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I hope I'm half, even just half of the support that you give to me. And the reason I said initially that I could only speak to this answer from my perspective is because I feel that sometimes I have a hard time even deciphering when your mental health isn't totally there. And so I'm not quite sure how I react.
I want to address more of what you said. First of all, I think the main reason why I'm able to help you through like your downtimes is because you're communicative about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Yeah. And like you let me listen, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I don't know, that sounds weird, but like.
Like I don't feel. I definitely feel this way. I feel like I'm just not processing situations happening to me properly,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm not being sane or rational in situations, but I choose to get over that fear when talking to you about it because I know if I am being irrational, I trust that you will tell me.
Uh-huh.
So I understand what you're saying when you say, let me listen, because it is a choice.
Right.
To let somebody listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I think, but it's also like, I feel like I could help you through it, but it's not like similar to other people. I wouldn't say I feel burdened by it, mm-hmm. but like it definitely affects me too.
Yeah, it definitely
like,
does.
If you're going through a hard time, like I can't help but feel bad about it too. And like, it definitely affects me emotionally too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, similar in the way that it does for everybody else, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I, in terms of me, you're super supportive too. And I think you are always trying to find more ways to help.
Mm-hmm.
Like you ask me how I'm feeling and like you help, like you'll like talk with me through some things.
Yeah.
And then you don't actually say this, but like, it's kind of like, can I do anything more for you? Like, what else can I do?
Yeah.
Where I'm kind of trying to figure out more how I feel, because we deal with it in very different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm like used to internalizing it and like thinking through it and like making myself feel okay with certain things that are happening in my life. And I'm not used to voicing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Voicing it and like talking through it. It's kind of like in my head a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not even sometimes, not even in words in my head. It's just like feelings and like navigating those feelings. Yeah.
How is it for you being with somebody who does operate differently? Do you feel pressured to have answers for me or
no,
pressured to figure it out?
Not really. It's, first of all, it's like, it's interesting and kind of refreshing because I think you kind of, to at least to me, I understand where you're at most times.
Yeah.
And like, it's pretty transparent. You're pretty transparent and like, there's not like a lot of stuff festering underneath that I'm not aware of.
Yeah. Cause
and like, and it makes me feel like I actually know you pretty well.
Yeah. Cause I'll like come home and just be like, hey, I'm not feeling awesome today and I don't know why, but I feel sad.
Yeah. And to me, I think I just show those emotions,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But over time you do figure out what it is. Like you will have actions that are showing that you're not feeling in your normal state of mind. And, I will probably make a check-in comment of a sort, like, hey, are you okay? Just because I'm noticing this.
Yeah.
And then I'll leave it for a while. And I think that to me, it seems as if you sit with that, think about it, and then figure out how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that worries me about myself is that I think I can really easily just go through things, kind of internalize it, make myself feel that like I'm actually dealing with it by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ultimately I'm just kind of going through things without actually like addressing it and
them.
Like, yeah, you know,
I
and, like,
do know
really
what you
thinking
mean.
Back at it and like reflecting and stuff. Yeah, so I feel like I need to get better at that.
Do you have any situations within the past year that you feel like you probably owed some more recognition to? For example, from my end, I can make the assumption that when I'm feeling negatively about life, it has a negative impact on you.
Yeah.
However, I was not aware that it actually was for a couple months when I was like really upset about work. And I had no idea that every time I was talking to you and bringing it home to you, it was having a directly negative impact until you said something to me.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of an example for you.
Let's see. Can you ask the question again?
Like do you have
other times where I should have like paid more attention to it?
Yeah. Like, do you think so?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think one that's kind of still present is where I actually want to end up going and like what actually makes me happy. Like, my job is enjoyable. I like it, but it's not, to me, it's not like, that's not
the
where
end
I'm
all.
Going. Yeah. You know, and, all the feelings about, am I ever going to be fulfilled? Am I going to find that job that makes me happy, or do I just need to settle with the job? Like, all of those questions are things that I ask myself, but never fully answered, I guess. Yeah, maybe I might have to like be more conscious about that. Yeah.
Anything in between us?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's good.
Yeah. What do you think so? Anything in between us that you feel like we need to address?
What? About what? Wait.
The same question that you just asked me.
Wait, but you were talking about how you internalize things. And if you, and I was asking if you had anything you were currently internalizing.
No.
I don't internalize things. So no.
Nothing between us.
Nope. I got all that out last night.
Oh.
We got into a little thing last night because Chris keeps calling me chubby. I'm just kidding. To say something.
Should we talk about it, I guess?
I mean, I don't think it's somewhat applicable just because it shows our differences in the way of thinking.
Yeah.
Like how a comment to you that comes out of pure consideration and in most cases even playfulness to me, I take so offensively. We came home back from bars last night. We're munchy. I was having my second round of munchies. And Chris, what did you say?
You were about to make
ramen
at probably like 2 a.m. It's about 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Right?
It was like 1.
Okay.
No. Nonetheless.
Yeah. And
late.
I was like, I can't remember what I said. I was like,
are you sure you really need that?
Yeah. Is that exactly what I said?
I think so.
Yeah. And then...
I was so pissed.
Yeah.
Not in the moment, though. It came up later.
You were pissed in the moment.
Was I?
Because yep.
I thought what happened
was we
talked about something else for a second.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we
sat down and I was like, well, obviously you must think I'm fat or something because you keep making these comments.
Yep.
And because it does happen quite a bit. And we had this whole like 40-minute long conversation where I had to be like, it was so weird. What happened next?
You were just like, we talked through why I said those things.
Yeah.
And why you took it offensively.
Yeah, we literally had to sit there and break down each other's mental process around the words said.
Yep.
For you, Chris, what was that?
What do you mean?
Like, what is your intention when you make that comment?
Well, that's where it, like, let's see. It's like big picture wise, you know, like I said, like if you're, we're at a party or something and we're drunk and you smoke, and I smoke one cigarette, that's probably not going to be the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't say anything in that moment, then the next party we're at, like I could probably whip out another cigarette or something, think that it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, not that eating food late is like equivalent to smoking,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of similar in that, like, if it's not a habit, if it's like a habit that like somebody else doesn't mention or take note of or like bring to light, like
yeah.
the other person might not be conscious of it and it could become a habit or something,
mm-hmm.
and like an unhealthy habit or something like that.
Yeah. And I was upset because I feel that most of my diet is healthy habits. And when I do choose to overindulge, I felt that that's when I got commentary. And I have an expectation of my partner that they would say something if they noticed a negative pattern coming up, which I strongly, in my case, don't feel has been a pattern. So when the comments are made, it feels like, oh, my partner must be perceiving that I am gaining this weight,
mm-hmm.
and that this is bad. And there might be something underlying for them that they're not attracted to me and they want me to stop eating. And I was also having an issue feeling like it was trying to control my eating habits in a way, which I also took personally because I've just dealt with eating disorder stuff before. And like, I'm very conscious of my
yeah.
weight. So to feel like I was being put in check unnecessarily was making me upset.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not. It's not you. And that was also the wild thing about the discussion is once we actually sat down and talked about it and really laid it out for each other, I realized that every bit of how I was interpreting it is not how it was meant to come across. Like, Chris is just coming from this perspective of like consideration and thinking it's like, you know, a friendly comment. Whereas for me, I have my own personal
yeah.
mindset around it. And if it, we could have just gone to bed pissed off at each other last night over a stupid little comment and had no idea
yeah.
that this was really what the other person was thinking the whole time.
Yeah.
It took an hour long discussion to really be like, and at the end of it too, we were just like, well, this has no outcome. Like,
yeah.
like this doesn't change anything. You still stand by what you said. I still stand by being slightly offended, but at least now we know why the other person's coming from that angle.
Yeah.
And that's all we needed. Like, I was able to let it go.
Yeah.
And I think you were too.
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah.
And that's the most difficult part is just even owning. It's like trying to express what your mindset is behind something like that.
Yeah.
And it's our combination of different mental experiences with that type of thing
right.
that led to that happening. Like, I've actually dealt with my mental state of mind around my eating habits throughout my whole life. And that was something that came up. That's weird.
Yeah. Anyway, that was semi-related to the rest of the podcast. Is there anything else mental health wise we want to talk through? I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah. I'm curious to see, it's going to be something that ebbs and flows throughout our relationship. And, I feel like to date you have gone through a pretty low state of my mental health and been that supportive pillar, and I've yet to be that. So I'm curious to see how that comes about.
Yeah.
And then in the future, if we decide to have a family, how that is going to react.
Yeah.
And, one thing I desire is that we are a very mentally conscious family.
Yeah.
should we ever have kids?
Yeah.
And that's something that we discuss with them. And
I agree.
Really encourage them to be open with us about, because when I was suicidal, I did not tell my parents. And when I did tell my parents, that was something that I think it emotionally affected them, because I felt like they didn't get the opportunity to be there for me in that situation. And, you know, I want to make that a very different experience.
I think I totally agree.
Yeah.
I think I could get it. Just thinking personally about mental health and like focusing on it and stuff, is there a point where it could become too much, like overanalyzing how you're feeling and stuff, rather than like just being present with it? You know what I mean?
Mm-mm. Maybe give me some type of example.
For me, I could think of it. I'm thinking about like, if I wanted to be super focused on my mental health, I might be thinking inwardly too much about like the things I'm doing and like, rather than being present with just what's happening.
Well, yes, I see the perspective you're coming from. What I see on the opposite side though, is it's very hard for me to just be present in things without reflecting inwards. Like, for me, that's not something I could really shut off and say, oh, I'm just gonna be present to what's happening right now, you know?
Yeah.
Because I constantly have so many thoughts bouncing around.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that inward analyzation,
I
wouldn't be able to process all those thoughts bouncing around. So for you, somebody who has no issue being present in the moment and taking yourself back to center, I think that there might be less of a need for you to be so inwardly analytical as if it is for somebody who has all these thoughts at 100 miles per hour that they're trying to figure out.
So I'm thinking like in terms of when we have kids and they're like, I don't know, whatever, like 9 or 10 or something, and they're having to deal with new things and that kind of thing. What will it look like from a parenting perspective to make mental health like an important thing in our family?
I think what it would look like is just purely talking about it, and not presenting it in the same way you do sex to kids. Like, oh, we're going to sit down, we're going to have this talk, but having the same kind of check-ins that we do as a couple of, did anything make you sad today?
Yeah. And going beyond like what happened today and more into like, how are you feeling?
How do you like your relationship with your teachers?
Yeah.
Like, are your friends good to you? Are they nice? And asking those types of questions. Do you have anybody who doesn't make you feel good at school? And, cause kids are so new to life. They don't know to think about things in that perspective of, oh, maybe there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
All they can be is present.
I agree.
Like,
kids are so new to life.
Yeah. They're so innocent, and they don't have this complexity around trying to analyze their emotions.
Right.
They know like, this makes me feel good or this makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
And so what it takes as a parent, in my opinion, is asking the right kind of questions that help you analyze what's really going on for them.
Yeah.
It's a big reason why like folks who experience traumatic events in their childhood don't actually begin to process them until they're much older.
Yeah.
Because when you're a child, you can't process the complexity of what just happened.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a startling experience as you age and you really get present to it.
Yeah.
So I think it's a matter of asking.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad that your mental health has been so good, and I'm looking forward to just being there to interact with it as we move forward.
Get excited.
I really just can't say thank you enough for how frequently you've been there for me. Cause my parents could attest to my mental health being something I've had to cooperate with my whole life. And it's something that I feel really empowered to work with now, but I didn't for a really long time. And that happened for me pretty early on in life. So you help so much being that listening for me. And I can't say thank you enough.
You're welcome. And I definitely feel the same way. Really, like, I just being able to communicate as openly and having that person, having you as that person that, like, wants it, you know,
yeah,
like, wants that open communication is really special.
And I have to say, too, it really means a lot to me that you've never pushed that away. Like, for example, I talk things out until there is a sense of completeness in the conversation,
mm-hmm,
which I know can be pretty emotionally exhausting in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it before in other relationships where the person will straight up be like, I don't want to think about this.
Yeah.
I'm done talking about it. I'm done thinking about it. Like, I don't want to know what the answer is. I don't want to figure this out. And I've never gotten that with you. Not because you're, like, just willing to go along, but because I feel that you have an actual desire,
yeah,
to just get in full communication with me about,
yeah,
something. And it means a lot.
Yeah.
Pretty proud of you. Thanks. Cool. So we're going to wrap it up here. And thank you guys so much.
Thanks.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.